May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So how many of you before this morning had ever heard of the prophet Haggai? Hey! Chuck and Eric know. Awesome!
I'd heard of him, but not that other name there.
Oh, is it Rubabel? And yeah. So, if you haven't heard of him, don't feel bad. Haggai is a minor prophet whose prophecy takes up just barely over one page in the Bible. Unless you've read the whole thing, it would be really easy to have missed this. And frankly, if you were reading the whole thing, it would be easy to go, wait, didn't I already read Haggai? Oh, I'll just go on to Zechariah. Yeah. Haggai also does not talk about the big things. He doesn't talk about exile. He doesn't talk about armies moving. He doesn't talk about empires. He talks to a people in a particular period of time. Scholars say his ministry lasted for perhaps 3 months. They're actually pretty sure exactly when he was active. And he was around for like 3 months. So, I mean, that's not even an interim priest. That's somebody who comes in for supply to cover a sabbatical. He comes in and he addresses the people of Israel for one purpose, and in the midst of one problem. And the problem is that the people of Israel have finally been released from their captivity in Babylon. They have come back to Jerusalem, and they have found Jerusalem razed and destroyed, including their beautiful, their glorious, their wonderful temple to God. And there is a lot of work to be done. And they start it. They dig a foundation for a new temple. They manage to get some stones up. But there is an awful lot to do. And it doesn't get much beyond a couple of rows of stones. And they find themselves, after a couple of years, not much further along than that. And a whole lot of people who remember the old temple, maybe they remember it personally, or maybe they remember their parents telling them about it, it's not clear, but they know that that old temple, the one they had before Babylon, that temple, let me tell you about it. You could see it for miles. It was gold. And then they would point to the barely started temple and say, and look at what a mess that is. What a shameful thing that is. And you can imagine how that inspired people to really work on it, right? And so God sends Haggai with a message, with a word to the people in charge. That's who Zerubbabel and Joshua are. They're the leaders of the community, probably, who have been spending a lot of time asking people to volunteer and being, you know, told, oh, yeah, next month for sure. And he comes to them and he says, have hope. Now is the time to build the temple. The Lord God says, this is the moment. I wonder how that was received. Anybody who has served on nominating committee around here can picture how perhaps, you know, oh yeah, great, thank you. I appreciate the word of advice. But Haggai isn't just there to tell them, get to work, although he does. He tells them to get to work for a particular reason. Get to work, he says, because God is with us. No, what we have right here is not the temple of beloved memory. No, we are not something new that is worthy of God. Get to work, not because of the old temple, but because God is with us here and now. Even if all we have is a hole in the ground and a handful of stones. I like Haggai because I think that he has spoken not just into that 3-month period in the middle of Israel, but to the church throughout the ages, and certainly to the church here today. There is absolutely no doubt that sometimes we can be just like the folks who sat there talking about the glory of the temple and, oh, it was so beautiful. Don't you remember when we had 40 children in Sunday school and we had to invent animals for the nativity pageant? We absolutely remember the times, the church of our youth, in which we could pull off the whole Hallelujah chorus at Easter Vigil because we had 60 members in the choir. We all remember the church that was, or at least most of us here. Maybe some of us are too young, but if you're too young to remember it, you've heard the people who aren't too young talking about it. One of my tasks in the last year has been working with a group of people in their 20s and 30s as we talked about reimagining the church and how we minister to people who are too young to remember that church. Who do not remember nativity pageants in which it took them years to even have a shot at the lottery of being married. Who grew up in a church where they begged you to be Joseph because you were male, beginning at the age of 5. And one of my coworkers there, Reverend Angel Marrero, said, "What I'd most like the church to know is, can we stop looking back at the glory days? Can we stop talking about how the church is dying? Because we're here and we love this church." In fact, a number of my colleagues pointed out that the wonderful thing about if a person in their 20s and 30s walks through the door of your church, you know they want to be there. Because there is nobody outside of the church telling them they ought to go. In fact, if they tell their friends, their coworkers, "Oh yeah, I'm going to church on Sunday," they're going to get funny looks. Why would you do that? So if they walk through our doors, they want to be here. They have made a decision that they want to be part of a faith community, that they love Jesus and they want to learn about Jesus, that they are interested in building the church, even if all we have at the moment is a hole in the ground and 3 girls vying for the role of Mary in a pageant with no Joseph and 1 sheep. They want to be here. But here's the thing. That church is not going to spring up of its own accord. Just like the temple in Jerusalem wasn't going to build itself, the church that will be, that we will become, needs effort. It needs us to discern where God is in the midst of this. It needs us to work on reaching out to our fellow builders. It needs us to be engaged in imagining what that new church might look like. There is no point in trying to sew up the old wineskins. We are going to have to figure out what the new church is going to look like so we have new wineskins to put this new wine in. But we can be sure God is with us in that. It's worth undertaking the effort because God is present with us and he is calling us to that work. God is saying, "When are you going to build this new church? Because I'm here and ready and there are people out there who want to be part of it. Go out and find them together, build this new place where the glory of God is once again seen for miles. Because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen.
Amen.